crossroads. We've been talking about crossroads and how they're there for all of us. You know, life can be going on really smooth and great, and maybe especially in the times we're going through right now as the church, as a nation, even throughout the world, perhaps we have a little deeper understanding of crossroads, how quickly things can change. And in the midst of those changes, there's a lot of choice points. There's decisions that have to be made. And then the questions come up in our own hearts and minds. Am I going to go the way that my heart is leading me to go? Or am I going to go the way that makes the most sense? Or am I going to go God's way? And you know, it can cause a lot of spiritual pain as we struggle with some of these decisions. It can even bring us to our knees, and sometimes, sadly, it can even lead us to our destruction. Well, there's someone who was a great witness to crossroads in his own life in Scripture, but he was in the midst of the one who faced the greatest crossroad, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this evening, we welcome the Apostle John. Well, I have to tell you, I'm somewhat embarrassed to be here, especially in light of the things that happened that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I didn't understand, and I don't think any of the other disciples with me, the apostles, they understood what was going on that night. But I'm so embarrassed because when Jesus really needed our support the most, we failed him in the worst way. But you know, it's important that we kind of get some context to that evening. It was the evening of the Passover, and traditionally, by God's command, the feast of the Passover, we would come and we would celebrate that Passover meal, and we would remember how God delivered his people out of Egypt. And all these centuries later, here we are, and now we are with Jesus himself, and we're having the Passover meal. But even before the meal, traditionally, when you would come to a meal like that in those days, you would wash your feet before you entered the room. And generally, there would be a servant there that would wash the feet, but not tonight. No, Jesus, the master, becomes the servant. And Jesus did this most incredible thing. He got down on his knees and he's washing our stinky, dirty feet. He, the master, being the servant to us all that were gathered there. And then we shared the meal together, and of course, with the meal, the wine, and all the other wonderful food. And then after the meal, Jesus did another incredible event, and we were eyewitnesses of this event. He instituted a new meal that we all know as the Lord's Supper. Jesus, in with and under the bread and wine, was offering to us his very body and blood that would be sacrificed for us. But that evening, we weren't bringing this all together yet. We were quite confused by everything. But you know, as John, I'm really blessed that the Lord chose me and inspired me to write perhaps the most details about this evening and the dialogue, the incredible words that Jesus shared with us. And you can read about that in my gospel. But I think of Peter, and all of us really, because we knew that Jesus, something was changing. He was talking about going somewhere and that we couldn't come with him. And Peter, he immediately said, "Lord, I would die for you." And then Jesus shocked Peter with those words, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times tonight before the rooster crows." And we're troubled and we're confused. We don't know what Jesus is thinking or where he is going. But unlike us being there for Jesus to comfort him, he was there to comfort us. And he said some of those most amazing words. You may know them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, wouldn't have I told you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to where I am. Wow, what incredible words. And then shortly after that, Jesus made a very clear testimony again of his character, of who he is. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then a little later, Jesus explained to us that no servant is above his master. And Jesus said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you also. This was a lot for us to absorb in one evening there with Jesus. And then Jesus went into a very long prayer. And I was blessed to be able to write that prayer down, that prayer that stands forever in writing for people to hear and to know. And I just want to share with you a few excerpts of what Jesus prayed. It's so significant, as everything Jesus would pray would be all significant. But the pattern of his prayer, he prayed initially for himself. And he prayed these words, Father, the hour has come. And we're thinking, the hour has come. This sounds serious. Jesus prays, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And then Jesus began to pray for all of us in the room, for us apostles. And he prayed these words, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Wow, what a prayer. Do you know that Jesus prayed for all of you tuned in here this evening? He prayed for the whole church, for everyone who believes in him. And I want you to hear his prayer, because this is his prayer for you. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, and that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What a prayer, and there's much more to Jesus' prayer. You may want to read about that in my gospel. Well, after Jesus concluded praying, he directed me and the others to go with him, and we left Jerusalem. We went down the east side into the Kidron Valley, and then we went up to the base of the Mount of Olives, and there's a beautiful garden there, the Garden of Gethsemane. It's an olive grove and a very peaceful place to be in. And we often went there with Jesus. And it's in, you need to understand, it's in the early morning now. It's like the middle of the night to you. Most people are sleeping and we're tired and we're heavy with the wine. But Jesus then wants to pray. And so he tells the other disciples, most of them, he says, stay here. And then he directed me and Peter and James, and he wanted us to go with him a little bit of a distance from the others. And then Jesus shared with us. We could see it. He seemed very troubled. And he shared with us that his soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he asked us if we would stay and watch with him and pray with him. You have to understand, we didn't understand the significance of what was going on before our very eyes. We were heavy with wine and that long walk. We were tired. It had been a very long day, and now it's into the early hours of the next day. Well, while Jesus went to pray, expecting us to stay awake and support him in that prayer, we fall asleep. And that's why I'm somewhat embarrassed to stand here before you this evening. That inner circle of Jesus' apostles, me blessed to be one of them, and at that critical time, at that crossroad in my life, I fall asleep. Well, Jesus, in his prayer, very painfully was praying, Father, if there be any way that you could take this cup from me. And Jesus is talking about all of God's wrath and anger and punishment for your sin and my sin and the sins of all people. And he's going to pour it all out on his son, Jesus. It's the plan. But Jesus is pleading with his Father, if there be any other way. But then Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus came back, and here we are sleeping. And Jesus looks at us, directed it to Peter, but to all of us. Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? And then Jesus warned us. It really wasn't to reprimand us. It was for our well-being, for our protection. And he warned us of how severe the temptations for us were going to be. And he told us that the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. We're awake again. But Jesus goes and prays the same prayer again, and guess what we do? We fall asleep again. And Jesus comes back, and we're sleeping. I can't imagine what a disappointment we were to him. He doesn't even wake us this time. He goes back, and he prays that same prayer again. Father, if there be any way you can take this cup away from me, but not my will, your will be done. And then Jesus came back, and he was in alert status now, and he said, get up, the betrayer is coming. And well, you know what happens after that. What a crossroad for Jesus. And we didn't even get it at the time. But you know, it wasn't a new crossroad with Jesus. In fact, that was the greatest temptation, and we came to realize it later, that Jesus was tempted with by Satan throughout his ministry. It started in the wilderness when Satan said, remember he said to Jesus, you know, I'll take you up on this high mountain and I'll show you all of the glory of the world, all the nations, and Jesus, you can have it all if you just bow down and worship me. Well, what was Satan doing? He was trying to get Jesus to avoid the cross, to have the glory without the suffering. I'm embarrassed again to say, remember, you probably heard about it, my brother James and I, we're contending to be able to sit at the right and the left of Jesus when his kingdom comes, when he establishes it. And we were thinking that was going to happen. Nobody was going to die. Jesus was going to establish his kingdom. We were even cheering that on. We didn't understand. And certainly all the disciples, the multitudes that followed Jesus, all Jesus would have had to say, yeah, I would love to be your king. And he would have had them in the palm of his hand, and they would have all rallied around him. And when those times happened, did you ever notice what Jesus did? He would either change the conversation, or Jesus would go away by himself and pray. We didn't know how great this temptation was. We didn't understand the cross and the severity of it, but Jesus knew every detail. Oh, it would have been so easy at that crossroad for Jesus to say, yeah, I want the glory now. I don't want to see the cross. But that wouldn't be perfect obedience to his Father. And now perhaps the most severe time of all, and we're sleeping, the temptation is there in the garden. But once again, at this crossroad, unlike any of the other people we have heard from in this series and from me, John, this evening, we have all failed horribly in our crossroads, but not Jesus. He remained perfect, in perfect obedience to his Father in heaven, out of perfect love for all of us and for you. Well, Jesus died on that cross. He rose again victoriously from the grave. He ascended into heaven, and we were changed men. Now we were out on the front lines of battle, as Jesus had warned us, that our crossroads would come, and it would be severe persecution. And at that crossroad, just like with Jesus at a much lower level for us, we could choose to make our lives pleasant and easy and have great followings and many people liking us. But that isn't God's way. I remember Peter and I were in Jerusalem. We were told by the authorities, stop preaching about that Jesus. And we told him very firmly, we have to abide by God's will, not yours. We couldn't do that by our own power and strength. But that was Jesus present with us. You know, when we were in the garden and we failed to stay awake and pray and watch for Jesus, guess what? Jesus will never fail you and me. And he didn't fail Peter and me at that time or any of the other apostles, and even to the point of us being put to death for what we were confessing and proclaiming. Jesus was with us. The Holy Spirit was with us. He gave us the strength and the encouragement. But most of all, we lived in God's forgiveness. We failed a number of times after that. But Jesus' love remained the same. And he forgave us, and we could go on. And it's no different with you. And I want to leave these words with you this evening. And they're words that I was blessed to see, to hear from Jesus on that island of Patmos. And Jesus, what a loving Savior, came to me and honored me to be able to write that book of Revelation. But he spoke to me these words to be written down for all time. You can find them in Revelation chapter 2. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. We don't know what tomorrow will bring or the next day, and especially with the virus now that you're going through, you don't know what may develop out of this, but what I can assure you is Jesus is with you. And whatever crossroad you come to, no matter how severe it may be and how tempting to turn away from God, the Lord will be with you as he was with me and empower you to follow him, to make that decision that's in accordance with his will. And when you're feeling very weak and when you're feeling like, I don't know if I can do this, God, remember, the Lord is watching over you. He is watching for you, and he's praying. He's interceding for you. How empowering is that? May God bless you and me as we continue this journey of faith together, in his most wonderful name, amen.